Welcome to the Compliance Advisor Podcast from SearchCompliance.com. Each week, editors Scott Peterson and Alex Howard interview leading experts on risk, governance, and compliance.
Well, as you say, the most obvious concern is about security. And as I prepare for the RSA conference in San Francisco later this month, the question I'm getting pitched upon again and again and again is just that: how do you provide security in the cloud? And the nuance there is that on the one hand, the security might be robust, but for organizations which have to provide audit records or log management files or have to be able to respond to e-discovery litigation, some of the different cloud providers have been less than forthcoming. What has your experience been as a CIO in trying to get that kind of granularity in requests? And do you think, or do you see, state or private businesses be able to move to those providers if they can't provide assurances of transparency in the ways that data is being stored or protected or moved?
We don't have any actual experience with cloud computing at this point, but there's no question that being able to do e-discovery and to have very, very clear audit trails for any of the records would be a very fundamental and basic requirement before we could even think about moving to any type of cloud computing.
You mentioned certainly that you're moving towards consolidating data centers for the purposes of creating internal clouds that you can make available to agencies. Are you doing that through increased virtualization?
Yes.
Okay. What experiences or challenges have you found in moving to that model?
Well, just the complexity of the numbers of data centers that we have with different platforms and lots of different applications and different types of technologies. We also have different security requirements depending upon which agency or secretariat the data come from. So it's a fairly complex undertaking, yet critically important for us to be able to achieve some of the efficiencies we're going to need going forward.
Have you chosen multiple virtualization platforms? Have you gone with one particular vendor? What's been your experience in exploring the different options out there?
I'm not that close to it. I know that we have a lot of VMware, but I don't know if there are other products we're using as well.
One other issue with data centers certainly is in the energy consumption. You know, that, as I understand it, most IT organizations are now rating energy use at or near the top of their budgetary line items. What steps has the state taken to make its data centers and its IT operations more efficient? What kind of green initiatives are you approaching?
First of all, we've published power standards and energy standards for all of our desktops, which will save significant money across the Commonwealth. But secondly, we're in the process of planning a new data center out in the western part of our state, and we're really aiming for that data center to be a showcase for new green technologies and for energy management. So we're working very closely with our Secretariat in charge of energy and the environment, as well as the Division of Capital Asset Management, to come up with some alternative strategies for energy management in the new data center.
Will that new data center out in Western Mass be near a river? Will any kind of the cooling benefits from being near water be part of that?
It's actually not located next to a river, but that is one of the areas that we did initially explore.
Certainly, with respect to virtualization, one of the things that you mentioned, too, is disaster recovery. Is there anything changing with your approach to disaster recovery? Do you do it in-house? How do security concerns impact your approach to DR?
We do not do it in-house now. We actually have a third-party vendor. We just this past weekend completed a disaster recovery exercise that was very successful. When we complete our data center in the western part of the state, that will allow us to do more of our disaster recovery ourselves.
Was that essentially because the state didn't have the capabilities to do it in-house when the need became defined for it?
Yes.
Do you have any other suggestions for organizations that are trying to manage all of the different collaborative software tools that are cropping up from the grassroots, so to speak? Certainly it's something that you can see as a citizen of the Commonwealth, where Web 2.0 is everywhere. Web 2.0 is everywhere, but the commonly used term is certainly Enterprise 2.0, which is to say where those collaborative tools are brought in-house. Which ones have you found to be most effective? You talked about wikis. Do you see video or blogs or RSS becoming more important? How have you seen their use positively impact your organization?
Well, we're actually using all of those that you mentioned on the Commonwealth's website, which is called mass.gov, mm-hmm. and they've been evolving over the last couple of years, and I think each has been pretty successful. I think the challenge now with all of this collaboration software and the social networking software is that so many different types of technology sort of kind of do the same thing. Mm-hmm. They overlap a lot. So in some ways, it's a little bit unplannable at this point in time. And we're in the phase where we have to do a little bit of them to really try to understand, well, where is the value really going to be for managing government before we make any significant investment in one versus the other. So we're still in, I would say, very much an experimental phase.
Mm-hmm.
And I think once we have a better sense of which of each of the types of new Web 2.0 technologies that you used, which of those are we going to be using in the most significant way, then we'll be investing in migrating to the next generation platform. So at this point in time, we're doing a lot of them, but they're all bolted on to the existing platform.
And with respect to using these different areas, one of the issues that's been brought up by a number of different CIOs I've talked to comes back to the basics, to data security and protection and compliance issues with regards to making information both discoverable and recoverable. So when you talk about making any of these technologies bolted on, how do you approach those issues? In other words, there's opportunity for data to leak out of the enterprise very quickly. How does the state manage that?
The kinds of things we're doing now really don't expose any of our mission-critical data, whether it be RSS feeds or blogs, or even these internal wikis that we're using. But I do completely agree that there is a very important balance we have to maintain between providing free and open access to data and making sure that we're keeping it safe and secure and protecting data.
Do you have any other advice for CIOs working in state government based upon your experience with the Commonwealth for the first thing to do if you start the job in a week and the very last thing you should consider doing if the worst happens?
That's a good question. I haven't really been in the job long enough to be much of an authority on anything, but I think one of the things that we've done here in the Commonwealth that has been very, very helpful is we actually developed a strategic plan, and we did it collaboratively but also very rapidly, and through that planning process we identified 7 key initiatives that were important for us to work together on across the Commonwealth to build what we're calling the foundation for the future. Just like with many states, roads and bridges, the kind of infrastructure that people keep talking about today is being shovel-ready. Many of our systems infrastructure has also been suffering from deferred maintenance. And we need to rebuild it in a very strategic and a very careful way. So having a plan for that is just critically important so that we can stay focused. And even so, it's still pretty hard to stay focused with so many more demands being placed on us. So at least what we're trying to do here is to make sure that we're investing very wisely for the long term, and we're staying very focused on making sure that those investments are all going to work well together.
What tools or strategies do you use in the information technology sector in the government to communicate those strategic plans and to checkpoint on the various progress reports? Are there any kind of enterprise dashboards you use? You certainly mentioned wikis for tracking projects. What are the best ways that you found to both keep track of all that information and all those different people working towards disparate goals and to keep communicating effectively?
As I've mentioned earlier, this is what we're beginning to use wikis for, and to get people working together and to have all the information in one place and all the information available to people who are working on a project together. For each of our 7 initiatives, we're creating dashboards for each and then an Uber dashboard to pull them all together with key metrics. But we're just really early in the process of doing that.
Well, thank you. You may be early in the process, but you are actually doing it, and I'm not sure how many other states are quite at that level of implementation where they've actually pulled in the different tools and are where you're at. So I think there's considerable insight to be gained as you feel your way along here for other state CIOs, certainly for those at the international level.
Well, it's hard to do, but we're going to keep focused on it and keep plugging away at it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for offering your time. Is there anything else you would want to communicate to IP professionals who are working within the Commonwealth?
Just that the work they do is so critically important, and certainly in these economic times we're all being asked to do much, much more with much, much less. But over the next couple of years, we're going to be in a very, very different place than we are now. And I think these very well may be some of the most transformative years for technology in the state. So it's hard. We're all working really hard, but it's also really exciting.
That's promising. What are you excited about? What technologies really make you hopeful?
Well, I mentioned that we have a strategic plan with 7 key initiatives. And for the most part, up till now, much of the technology in the Commonwealth has been very fragmented. And through these 7 key initiatives and through consolidation, there seems to be an opportunity for us to build a really solid industrial strength foundation that within a couple of years we'll be much more agile and be able to innovate on top of. It's very, very hard for us to innovate on top of a patchwork of networks and data centers and platforms. So this is the really hard work, which is to, just as I'll keep saying it over and over again, but it is to truly build that solid foundation that's going to enable much, much more in the future.
Well, it seems like you're dealing with precisely the issues that many other large organizations are, which is a huge amount of diversity in the legacy systems and in the standards that have been built up over time.
Right.
Thank you for taking the time today. I know that Monday at noon you've got to be a little more than a little bit busy.
Yeah, my pleasure, Alex.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Compliance Advisor Podcast. For more information on risk, governance, and compliance, visit searchcompliance.com. If you have questions or other feedback about this episode, please let us know at editor@searchcompliance.com or comment on our blog at itknowledgeexchange.techtarget.com/IT-compliance. You can also follow us at IT Compliance on Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.